we begin the hour by welcoming to the program from 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, our friend Ty Anderson. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
Not too bad for a Monday. How are you doing?
Oh, just hanging in there. We're entering the stretch run of the regular season here. Only a few more games left. And then the fun should begin for the Bruins. So really, this is the kind of year where you're just, time of year where you're just powering through and seeing what's over the horizon there.
And a really tight race as it goes in the Eastern Division for the Bruins. At this point, does it matter if you're 2, 3, or 4?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. I think that you look at the way they've played all the teams that have already punched their ticket, the Islanders, the Penguins, and the Capitals, they've been close games. You know, every game has been close, even the rivalry with the Islanders, right? Like, they haven't won that rivalry per se, but it's been a close game going to third period in every single matchup. So that's a good thing for the Bruins, and I think the same for the Penguins and the Caps. So I really think this is about just staying healthy. First of all, punching your ticket, but also staying healthy and making sure that you have as close to a complete lineup as you can entering game one. And that's sort of the question here for the Bruins over these final 5 to 6 games.
Well, the deals that they made at the trade deadline have certainly reaped big benefits. And you wrote about an especially a good combination that's developing some great chemistry with David Krejci and Taylor Hall.
Yeah, this is phenomenal. I mean, this is probably the best that Krejci has looked in, I would say, half a decade. And I think Taylor Hall has had a big, you know, big hand in that, really. He's been just, the way that he gets Krejci going, I think, both as a passer and a shooter, has been really noticeable, right? That Krejci doesn't need to drive his whole line, because he has Taylor Hall now. And Taylor Hall can be a driver. We've seen this when he was in New Jersey. And even when he was in Edmonton in Arizona, I would say, to a degree, where, you know, he can drive a line. He's great in pushing pace offensively, creating plays, finishing plays. And now I think that Krejci feels like he doesn't have to do everything himself on his line. And so to have those two guys going, then have Craig Smith there, who had a hat trick on Saturday, as sort of a third guy, I mean, this has been a good combo for them. And it's really brought Krejci back to life. It's made you think that, okay, he's not washed up. He's not done. He just needs good players around him. And now he has that. So this line is a potentially season-changing line, in my opinion. The way that you have David Krejci going, we know he's good in the playoffs. He typically has been. When the Bruins go, it's typically on David Krejci's back in the postseason. So to have him going, get him fired up before the postseason like this, this could be a huge thing for the Bruins.
I love you shared on social media the David Krejci apology form. Why is it that so many people have been so eager to write him off time and time again?
You know, I think he's had an unfair situation here where he's the two behind Patrice Bergeron, who might go down as the most beloved Bruin that we of this modern era, honestly. You know, so he's always had it like going against him that way, because they look at Bergeron and they look at him and say, how come you can't be like that? Well, nobody can. It's Patrice Bergeron. So I think that people with Krejci, they've always looked at the price tag versus the production. You know, he's the most expensive player in terms of his yearly salary, $7.25 million. So that's always rubbed people the wrong way, I think, in some respects. So they expect more out of him. But when you watch Krejci, I mean, he really is a masterful puck mover. And the way he sees the ice, the vision, it's just, you know, they've given him all these guys over the years that really don't fit his style. So you can't expect 100 points when you're saying, hey, here's a prospect who's going to ride with these 5 games and we're going to get rid of him or put him back in the minors in the fourth line or whatever. So he's been asked to elevate players a lot. And in some cases, he's done it. In other cases, it's been too big of an ask. So I just think that people don't appreciate him for a multitude of reasons, but the biggest one for me is the price tag and who he plays behind in the lineup.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown, and you mentioned that line and that success, as you mentioned, has spread to Craig Smith with that hat trick the other night, and that's a pretty rare hat trick because, as you pointed out on social media, those have been reserved for a select few Bruins in recent years.
Yeah, he's the first Bruin not named Krejci, Pastrnak, Marchand, or Bergeron to record a hat trick since 2015, and that was Jimmy Hayes who did that. And if you remember, Jimmy Hayes scored that the last second goal. I think it was 1 second or 3 seconds left in the third period. So a rare feat for Craig Smith. Hat tricks, as we know, are often random. You know, we've seen some guys who probably typically don't score them, Chara being one of them, scoring hat tricks in the past. So, but no, he's definitely found his footing here. He really has. And I think getting him going with Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand for a little while and then moving him back down with David Krejci was a huge boost to him because it got his game going, it got his confidence up, and then it was off for the races, right? He knew what he had to do to be successful in this system, in this lineup. So I think that's a signing that is finally paying off for the Bruins, right? We knew about him in Nashville that he shoots the puck and he's productive. You know, we're seeing both of those things now at the same time for the Bruins. So a huge boost for that second line, and you got to hope it keeps going here.
Devils tonight, and actually back-to-back games this week with the Devils, the Rangers later in the week, but sounds like no Mike Riley tonight.
Yeah, no Mike Riley, nagging injury. He had a maintenance day earlier this week, ended up playing on Saturday. With this being a back-to-back, it feels like you're going to see a lot of this, right? If anyone has any sort of nagging injury, if they're playing at 80% or 75%, you're going to get the day off, especially if and when they clinch a postseason berth, because that is the biggest thing, right? I think, you know, we talked about this earlier, but they're going to stress health over seeding, because once they're in, I think they know they can play with any of the other three teams. So they just want to be upright entering the postseason. And Mike Riley, we've seen his production, his contribution, could be a sneaky important piece of this team. So it makes sense to give him the time off. And especially now as you have Kevin Miller back, you're probably going to get Brandon Carlo back tomorrow as well. So they have some time here to get healthy.
What's the plan in net? Is it Tuukka tonight and Swayman tomorrow?
It's Tuukka tonight and Swayman tomorrow, and from the looks of it, or the sound of it, rather, it sounds like Swayman has the advantage here in terms of being the backup come game one of the postseason, right? We're running out of daylight here for Yaroslav Halak. He played one period of relief against Buffalo a couple weeks ago, about 10 days ago now, I think, so, and we haven't seen him since. So I really think that you're going to end up seeing Swayman and Rask being your goaltending combination of the postseason. And we'll have to see how long the leash is for Tuukka, because Swayman has been playing well. We talked about this a couple weeks back. I mean, the start is ridiculous, right? And it really hasn't wavered. So I'd want to say that it's going to be those two in the playoffs, but we're going to have to wait and see here and see if Halak can put together a little run here if and when they clinch.
And what do you think that means for Jeremy Swayman looking to next year?
You know, it's interesting, right? Because I would say that you might want to get him a full AHL season, just because this year is not a real AHL season, because the P Bruins have played two teams all year. They play the same two teams all season, so that part makes it a little bit hard to judge, right? And there's no crowds. They're playing at the sports complex in Marlboro. It's not a real, you know, AHL building yet. He's kind of forcing your hand here. I mean, if you have numbers that good, and they stay that good, you really can't send him back to the minors. So I have a feeling they may roll with a Rask-Swayman combo to begin the year, or maybe they leave the training camp and they have Vladar and Swayman in training camp, and they say, okay, Winner's going to get, you know, the backup job here. The thing with Swayman is they have options, right? And beginning next year, I believe they don't have options with Vladar. So he would have to go through waivers if he doesn't make the team, and a team might take a chance on a guy like Vladar. So it might be an option thing that ends up leaving Swayman in the minors to begin next season, but he also may force their hand. You know, he's playing so well that you got to keep him because, again, you're not going to get that kind of production from either Halak or Vladar. So we're going to have to wait and see, but this is a huge, huge start to Swayman's career, and it's definitely way ahead of what I think the Bruins expected out of him when they signed him last year.
I have no question. We're pretty excited about it up here. As you might imagine, Ty, it's always great to catch up with you. Appreciate you making time this afternoon. Enjoy the games this week, and we'll check in with you again in a couple of Mondays.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Ty. Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, talking Bruins with us.